Mizma Mem Dalet. So we did basically, one page, and we did pretty much the Mitzugas David. That's all we did. We didn't do all that much. I'm going to review the Pesukim again very quickly. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi.
Amen.
Mr. Cohen, thank you for the coffee. Thank you for setting up the computer.
Thank you.
You're a real expert at this.
I want to
rent
them out.
Live in a maskil. Okay, I'm going back to page 390. We review the pasuk very quickly. Alakim be'oznenu shamanu. Our own ears we heard. Avosenu sipru lanu. Our forefathers they told us. Poal poalta bimehem bimekedem. He told us all of the wondrous actions of Hashem. In back from the old days, Ata you yotcha goyim harashta you your hand goyim harashta you drove out the goyim, vatitoim and in their place you planted, lashon of nitiya. Okay, the Jewish people are called the zera. Okay, the zera yisrael ohavoi, the seed of my beloved. You planted the Jewish people in their place. Tara lumim, and when you planted the Jewish people after you drove out the goyim. And you planted the Jewish people in their place. Torah le'umim v'teshalachem. The words of this pasuk are very difficult, the way they're arranged. If you would really, when you translated it, more sounds like more that you, with your mighty hand, you drove out the nations, and you did evil to them. You would probably put the word, you would put Torah le'umim. You brought evil upon the nations of the world. Vatishalachem, you threw them out, and harashta. There are two words. There are two words here. They really mean the same thing in this pasuk. It's like repetition. There is harashta, is to drive out, and the word vatishalachem, and to send away. And it's interesting that we put the word harashta connected to the word goyim, and the word vatishalachem in connection to the word le'umim. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, he took the umim and he sent them away, and he took the goyim and he was harashta, and in their place, vatitoim, you planted the Jewish people. Okay, that's how the mitzvah stuff of the pasuk yesterday. Mordechai Bienenstock. Welcome back.
A great grandson.
Mazel tov. Ashrecha shezachis lakach. Mazel tov.
We went to a bris in Chicago.
The Windy City. You have a very interesting mayor there in Chicago.
Oh, interesting mayor. Crazy.
Welcome back to Brooklyn, New York.
It's good to be back in San Diego. I missed
it. We shul in West Rogers Park.
Well, you know the name. Nice shul.
No, I know Chicago.
All right, so name over here, we have this pasuk, then we go pasuk. We're on page Daf Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Tais Chaf Gimel, right?
Yeah.
Daf Chaf Gimel. Page 392, Mizmor Mem Dalet. Okay, now the pasuk over here says, pasuk Dal, Kiloi V'Charbam, we spent a lot of time on this pasuk yesterday, Kiloi V'Charbam, Yarshu Oretz. It was not with the sword did they inherit the land. Uzirayam Lohoshia Lomai. It was not due to their might, their power did not come to the rescue. Rather, all the miracles the Jewish people experienced in Galus only because Kimura Uzrayach, it's your right hand, Hashem, your arm, the Arponecha, Kirit, see some you found in the Jewish people favor. Pasik hey Ato Hu Malki Alokim, you're my God. Tsave Yeshuois Yaakov. Pasik vav b'cha, in you, tsareinu nenageach, with your koyach do we gore our enemies, v'shimchan your name, navus, come in, and we tremble upon those who rise up against us. We did yesterday the mitzvah David, kemat, and all the psukim over here, and therefore today let's go on, let's see over here. Yeah, we did enough, so let's now take a look over here at the Rashi. Rashi, go back to the beginning of the Mizmar. Rashi back on page 390. Bioznenu Shamanu. Okay, now go past two on these psukim. Bioznenu Shamanu. Mikanat olam et shoyu medabrim b'nei korach b'shvil doiris halolu ha'boim achareihem. The b'nei korach, who are they addressing? They are addressing they are addressing the generations that will follow them. She'ilu b'shvil atzmam lo hayluchem loymar avaseinu sipulanu. Okay, so here Rashi is telling us a very important fact that the Bnei Korach over here were prophets, because they could not possibly have said this. Our forefathers, they told us about miracles. What are they talking about? They themselves witnessed miracles. They themselves, the Bnei Korach, were people who left Egypt, who were part of the Shiva Mitzrayim. They saw the miracles with their own eyes. You want to put them in their timeline, they themselves saw what happened. There's nothing for them to say that our fathers. One more time. Mikan. Atolam. From here you learn. No, it's something new to me. I never appreciated this. The word Mikan. Rashi, when Rashi says the word Mikan, it's a very powerful word. Rashi in Chumash. Every so often, whenever Rashi says the word Mikan, you probably can count. Make a count, do a computer search. How many times in Chumash does Rashi say the word Mikan? How many times in Tanakh? And how many times in each parsha? To make that count, count the number of times in this week's parsha that Rashi says Mikan. When Rashi says Mikan, this is a very important Rashi. There are different levels, different degrees of intensity of when Rashi says something to pay attention. And Mikan is very important. Mikan from this pasuk lo ato ato lavet shoy medabrim b'nei Korach b'shvil doros halolu haboim acharehen, that the B'nai Korach were speaking not in reference to themselves, but were speaking in reference to doros halolu which came acharehen, the future generations. She'ilu b'shvil atzmam lo hoyulham loymar avaseinu sipulanu shareihem atzmam, they themselves wrote nisi hamidbar v'hayom hayardei. So what is saying over here? Avoseinu. So obviously he's saying over here that this is what the future generations are going to say. Good morning, Rav Mordechai Mintz. Boker Tov. It's good to see you, as always. He's sitting next to a very holy person. Another Mordechai. He's otherwise known as Jack in the Beanstalk.
I have a board tonight.
Mazel tov. Yes, I have a bimo. Okay. So therefore we have over here the Nisei. I always love when Rashi they say that Sefer is called Tilim, not Tehillim. Okay, so this is an incredible part. Rashi telling us over here that Bnei Korach, they were prophets, and they're basically putting words in the mouths of the future generations what they will say. They're not speaking about themselves. They are addressing future generations, and this is what they are going to say going backwards. Now, all that is Rashi obviously is citing this medrash because Rashi is following the opinion that the people that are actually, when it says Bnei Korach Maskil, are actually the people Bnei Korach. Okay, actually, the one who composed this mizmor is not David. It was the words, the actual words of this mizmor were composed by the children of Korach. They actually wrote these words, and it was preserved. Their words were preserved for generations until David came along, and David compiled Tehillim, and he selected those words to be included in this Sefer. We learned last week, when we learned in detail Mizmor Mem Gimel, is that that's not everyone agrees to that. Some hold that when it says Lamatzech Bnei Korach Maskil, Bnei Korach didn't write this. Then there's nothing to talk about. David wrote this. It's David's composition, and when it says Bnei Korach Maskil, means that who are the singers? Lamatzech is for the conductor. And for the conductor, there's a conductor, and there's an orchestra, and there are singers. Who are the people that are assigned, that are going to be assigned to actually singing this mizmar? And the ones that are assigned to sing this mizmar are going to be the Bnei Korach, our descendants, people who are alive today, who are great-great-great-great-grandchildren of Korach. They are going to be the ones that are going to be designated to sing this mizmor in the Beis HaMikdash, to play the musical instruments, and to do whatever it's all about. And no one else. Why? For whatever the reasons are. But this has nothing to do with Korach and his Ada, who rebelled against Moshe, and his children, who some of them seemingly died, and some of them were saved. Okay, so this Rashi is going l'shitosa, that Rashi learns in the previous Mizmar, he cites the three children of Korach who were nispatzer lohem mokem, when the earth opened up to swallow up Korach. There was a ridge that came forth upon which they stood, they were saved, they were maharher b'shuva, and at that moment in time, they miraculously, they became prophets, and they said these words. Okay, this Rashi l'shita soy. And because obviously you see over here that this, what Rashi has to cite, I was saying this super long, the question is such a great question. What do you mean our forefathers told us what happened? Our fathers, they were alive. They themselves, how old were they? They themselves just came out of Egypt. They saw the miracles of their own eyes. What's this Avosenu Sibulon? This obviously is a very difficulty why we can understand in the previous Mizmar, many of the commentators disagree with this approach, and they learned that this Mizmar, these Mizmarim were composed by Moshe, and when it says Levnei Korach Maskil, all it means is that when David and the people who ran the Beis HaMikdash, when they set up a system of singing Shira to accompany the Korbanos, it was part of the rules that this mizmor can only be sung publicly in the Beis HaMikdash by people who are miyuchasim to the family of Korach. And that's it. But the actual words of what it says, they never said it. They never said it. They're lucky this is by David. The question is a very tough question. Okay, next Rashi. The next Rashi says, Tara l'umim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have brought evil upon the nation of the world. Ha-re oisa l'shev umois gidoylois v'shilachtan miponenu. Ha-re-osa means you have brought evil upon them to the seven nations, the seven umois, l'sheva umois gidoylois, seven nations, v'shilachtan miponenu, and you dismiss them. You send them away. V'yatan you. Biyotcho v'koychacho hirashto mitoich aretzom, you drove them out of their land.
Talking about Knani,
yes, right. So that's what's very interesting, is that how often do you find in Tanakh to call the seven nations of Canaan, the seven Canaanite nations called umim? Do we really call them umim? How do we refer to the Canaanim? Eretz HaKenani, Achiti, Ha'imor, Ha'prizi, Ha'yavusi, Ha'goshi. We call them Umos? We call them Umos? Maybe we do. I don't know. Here it says, L'sheva Umos Gidoylois. Hashem, you have driven them out. V'shilachta miponenu, V'aton you, B'yotcha, with your hand, V'chichacha, Ha'irashta mitoich ha'artzam. You drove them out of their land, and in their place, when they were driven out, you gave us the land. The first Rashi in Chumash. You have planted our forefathers in the land, Pasuk Dalid, because you found favor in our forefathers in Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Klal Yisrael, and that's why you have done this. Tzave Yeshuas Yaakov, Gam Ato. Okay, so this is now also. So we sing the Tzave Tzave. You sing the Snigun so many times. What does it mean, Tzave? You have to take it in its context. You see, isn't this amazing? You sing that pasuk alone in Simchas Torah, and throughout the year, whenever you do, and it's a very, very popular nigun, and you're just saying words. What do the words mean? The words are totally taken out of the context. Save. Rashi says, Gam ato. What is it? Also. When you say also, what's the ikar? What do you mean also? Save gam ato. What do you mean gam? You have to understand, what it means is, look back into the past. Just like in the past, we came to Eretz Yisrael, we wandered in the desert, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brought us into the land, he brought us into Eretz Yisrael against all odds, and Hashem drove out the nations, Hashem did for Klal Yisrael miracles of Kibush Haaretz, Gamato. Right now, Eretz Yisrael is under the authority, even though we have a sovereign state, and they have elections, and they have a party, we all know, everyone knows that Eretz Yisrael, even today, even in the modern world, with everything said and done, it's a very delicate situation, and they're subject to the goodwill of the United States and Chol HaNilvim Olav, and the state of Israel. The people who are in control there can't just do whatever they want. They watch their back because it's a very dangerous world, and you're walking on eggshells, Eretz Yisrael. We don't have it's make believe to think that there's full that today there's full sovereignty in the land. And when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the time of Yehoshua, they had nothing. They had no sovereignty. It was a melchama, and it was and HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously brought about our success. So the same way in the past, Hashem removed all of the umos from the land and all of the influence they had in the land. Tzave, gamata, bring us to Eretz Yisrael and remove from the land the memshola, the koyach of the umos ha'olam that have shlita in the land. Look, I mean, when you go in the time of the Bayis Sheni, there's the Shar Shushan. Why was it called Shar Shushan? There was the logo, the symbol of Paras. When you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, don't forget who's the Balabas here. Shushan Habira, Persia, Achashverosh, Daryavesh, Shar Shushan. You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, the flag of the United States of America is at the front door of the base of the front door. Don't forget. You think you're coming over here, it's your Beis HaMikdash and you have control? Yeah, we give you freedom of religion. But before you exercise your freedom, remember, pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And it's the flag, you know, the whole Nusach. Pledge allegiance, it's not a joke. That's why it was called Shar Shushan. It was their logo, their flag, their symbol on the gate to the Beis HaMikdash. So, Gamata, just like in the past, in the time of Yehoshua, we came into the land, we had complete sovereignty, complete autonomy, complete shlita of the land. Likewise today, Gamata, Tzave Yeshua Yaakov, when you know the context of the pasuk, the song has an entirely different meaning. I challenge you, go to a place where they sing the song of Simchas Torah, Tzave, Tzave, and take aside one person at a time and tell them, can you explain to me what do you think? What are you thinking about when you say this pasuk? What are you thinking about? So you'll have very, very funny answers.
I think most people say this one again.
What?
I think most people will say, oh, this song again.
This song again, exactly. So and you know, the ikar is, I didn't know this. Ikar is Tzave Gamata. Gamata. Read the psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us into the land, he drove out our enemies. We didn't have to use a sword. We didn't have to use power. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his desire, his koyach, his the orponecha, the yodcha, the zroya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's mincha. That is what brought us success into the land, not our koychi v'oitzim yadi. It wasn't the power of the IDF in the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War, the War of Independence. This wasn't the koyach. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gamata! Hashem, you can do the same thing and now you can do the same thing today as well. All right, now let's go to the next Rashi. Okay, that's it. That's it for the Pasuk Vav. One more Rashi on this. You have to turn the page. Page 394. The Rashi over here is on the next page for some reason. Novus Kameinu. Okay, Novus means to trample upon. Okay, Novus Kameinu. Nirmois, the Nirpois Oyveinu is to trample upon our enemy, Lashoin. Misboiseses bidamoich. What does that mean? So it's interesting. That's not what you would expect. Misboiseses bidamoich means you are wallowing in your blood. You are like rolling. I think the common translation is that the Jewish people they were like on the ground and rolling around in a state of confusion. They were wounded and they were bleeding. And they were rolling on the ground in the puddle of their own blood. Now Chazal, of course, darshan this pasuk dam Pesach dam Mila, They have a nice twist on the pasuk, misbeseses b'domoyich, but it's an expression, it's a metaphor which basically means to roll. But over here we say the word navus means to trample. He's saying a very interesting thing over here, near mois, the near pois oivenu, trample, step upon our enemies, just like our enemies stepped upon us. Misbeseses b'domoyich. Here, I mean, it's not really the same type of analysis, but I guess we're just looking at the shurish of the word. Then there's tovus loifes. I don't know what that means, even though once upon a time we learned Mishlei here. V'hayu ki gibarim boisim b'tit chutzos. The gibarim, they were boisim b'tit chutzos. They were wallowing, rolling around in the tit chutzos, the garbage of the street. All right, so this is pasuk. That's what this word means over here. All right, now, let's take a look.
I don't know if it's true, but I mean the analogy, but the Kahanim, they used to plug up the hole
of the shisin
would go out, and the Kahanim would be mamish
blood to their knees. Erev Pesach,
plucked it out, and all the dam flowed out. They were mispossessed, they were wallowing.
Interesting. Okay, every year there was a hiddur that there was so much blood from the Korban Pesach that there was a puddle of blood in the Beis Hamikdash until their knees. Okay, the drain that allowed all the water all of the.
I can tell you that is true. When we're working in it, if you see what goes on in the slaughterhouse, you will see the
blood.
Expense is the drainage.
Really?
That they have to put so much chemicals in there because the maca causes such an odor from the going down the drain. It's pathetic. And the smell is sometimes so unbearable that they have to put the big businesses for the companies that come in every night and put chemicals down the drain to unclog the drain. Otherwise you get back up and everything comes back up. It's horrid if it does not done well.
Very interesting. You never know what goes on all these facilities of how many technical things that, right here. Very interesting. Okay, now there's a very important Malbim we're going to do in a moment. Before we do the Malbim, we'll do the Malbim in a moment. But I want to do some other things before we get there. Let's look first at the Chumash Anoch. Okay, this is the Chumash Anoch on page 393. On page 393, Pasuk Dalid, Ki Yimincha Uzroyacha V'Arponecha Ki Ritzison. Our success conquering Eretz Yisrael was not due to our own koyach, but rather it was your right hand, your Zroyacha, your arm, your Arponecha Ki Ritzison, Ki Yimincha Bizchus Avraham. It's a very interesting Chumash Anoch to go take note of this. The word Yemincha is a code word for the Zechus of Avram Avinu. Isha Chesed. Uzeroy Acha is a code word for Bezechus Yitzchak. Li Zeroya Im Gevura. Okay, he quotes a pasuk to support that, which I'm not familiar with. And then the last one is the Arponecha Bezechus Yaakov Eretz Achaim. So he's saying over here, it's a very beautiful drush. I don't know if this is a medrash. He's saying, he's quoting this, he's saying this in his own chidah. He's saying over here is that we had success, that we came into Eretz Yisrael, it's kiloy v'charbam yarshu aretz, uzroyam lo yoshiyot lamoy. It wasn't because of our merits. It wasn't, and if you want to be, we want to continue in his way, you want to wax homiletic, it doesn't mean over here, when it says v'charbam, and Uzroyam, it means, maybe what it means is our merit. A cherev is a sword. But asher lakachti miyad ha'emari, becharbi uvikashti. And there when it says charbi chazal darshin, it means the koyach of tefillah. So you can, and when it says Uzroyam, the Zeroya, your arm, okay, whatever it means, you can somehow find a drush to suggest that when you came into Eretz Yisrael, forget about weapons and war. We know that's not what wins wars. But maybe you'll say it's my zuchuyos. I'm a good person. I gave $18 to the UJA. Okay, I have merits. I did good deeds. I got up early to daven one day, once in a while, and I did a mitzvah, and I did chesed. I did all these type of chesed projects. I have zuchusim. I learned daf yomi. No. The reason why you were zeichet to the incredible miracle of Eretz Yisrael, kiloi v'charbam yarshu aretz. Uzirayam lo hoyshia lamo. Excellent. It's don't think over here, even if you're going to want to say the word chedef and zeroya can be darshaned homiletically to mean merit. It's not in your merit that you entered into the land. It's not your zuchus. Rather, it's the zuchus of us. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov.
Even the only problem is it says Tered and Keshes. It should have said Bitfilah, it's not Hanunim. So why does it say this and mean that?
That's always the way. The Chazal always do that. Every there are Ayin Panim LaTorah. And besides the Pshuta Shel Mikra, that's what the Chidah here is doing. When the second half of the pasuk says Ki Yemincha, it doesn't mean your right hand. It means doesn't mean Hashem's right hand. Hashem doesn't have a physical body. It means Avraham Avinu. That's what the Chidah says. When it says Uze Roy Acha, it means Yitzchak. And when it says the Or Ponecha, it is Yaakov. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And don't make a mistake and think that you have big schusim. People, they do have incredible schusim. There are people out there that are incredible. What they do, it is not to be believed. The Mesiras Nefesh and the good things that they do. But don't, at the end of the day, do not make a mistake and think that your success comes in your merit. I give a lot of tzedakah. I learn Torah. I do chesed. Whatever you do today is negligible. Negligible. It's not worthy that you should have all this, the blessing that you see in front of you. If you want to know why you have this blessing, it's zuchus avos. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. This chemes anoch is unbelievable. It's really a knockout out of the ballpark home run to put things in perspective. You're coming over here today. You know today Klal Yisrael, they have incredible success. The state of Israel 75 years. You're not going to say it's a miracle. You gotta be living in another world. Okay, so I use the word zuchus. I use the word, he says the word zuchus. It's ki bezuchus Avraham and bezuchus Yitzhak. So he's saying that in the time of Hoshea ben Elah, tamu zuchus avos. All right. But bris avos lo tamu. It's a very difficult chazal, what that means. Because today you find kiseidah v'chaseidah.
You're supposed to bring him into the land, not to keep him there.
Okay, you find all over that we still use the term zuchus avos. It's something which is fluent. It's fluent in the pair of all in the chazal that even today there's something called zuchus avos. Oh, but it says zuchus avos tamu zuchus avos. I don't know. But you can't dismiss the fact that it's shogar befiv shel kol adam to say that bizman hazeh we have zuchus avos. Obviously, there's something called zuchus and bris. And understanding is zuchus is much more potent than bris. Bris is, all right, whatever, you know, Hashem throws you a bone.
Yeah, the bris, Hashem made Avram a bris.
A bris, v'choroi sivo ha-bris. There's a bris. But zuchus is a much greater, more potent koyach. What's the difference? I don't know. In this moment, there's a lot of Torah al chvestish. But let over here the Chidah, if the Chidah over here says this, I have no problem. Okay, he was a relatively recent commentator, didn't live all that long ago, and he says, Bizuchus Avraham Isha Chesed Uzurecha, Bizuchus Yitzhak, Bizuchus Yaakov. That is why Klal Yisrael inherited that. Look, if you want to go back to the time of Kibush Aretz, okay, certainly the Zuchus Avraham, that was before Hashem and Elah. Hashem and Elah was towards the middle of the Bayis Rishai. Okay, so you want to go back and read the Pesukim very literally, and then of course there was still Zuchus Avos. And I'm just trying to add a little mashuhu, is that when it says Kilo v'charbam Yoshu Oretz Uzroyam, he doesn't say the Chidah, but once the Chidah interprets the word Yemincha and Zroyacha and Arponecha in reference to spiritual merit, So we can also suggest that when it says becharbam uzuroyam, it doesn't mean a sword, and it means your physical might. Chazal say beferish, asher lakachtim yad ho'emori becharbi uvekashti bitzolusei uvebiusei, with my prayers. So when you say that a person has a cheref, it means I have zchusim. I have zchusim. What's my cheref? Koyach hatfila, koyach of chesed, koyach of learning. When it's
yeah. He has a segula.
There's a lot of schools. He was a Mekubo. What? Alright, this is over my head. I'm not from the Mekubolim. Okay, I hear. These are. All right, this is over my head. I don't know. These are Kabbalistic concepts. Eretz, no. I'm sorry. It's the name of a sefer. I'm sorry. It is the name of a sefer. Okay. Is it one of his svarim? It could be its name. I don't know what he's citing a source. The source of what he's saying is something called Eretz Hachaim. Is that one of his own svarim? Is that from the editor of this parish? Is that an ancient sefer that he's quoting from? Probably it is. He's telling you where it is. Noiz Gimel. You gotta go Google it. What is the sefer? The sefer called Eretz Hachaim. This is where it says this principle, that this pasuk here means that we came into the land not in our merit, but in the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he reads that very beautifully into the pasuk. Okay, now let's go to a very, very beautiful Malbim. The Malbim is pasuk Dalit, the same exact pasuk, and here we're going to focus on the two words of Yodcha and Zeruya. All over Tanakh, we come in contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's his yad. The Vayari Yisrael es Hayod HaGedoyla Asher Os Hashem B'Mitzray. We saw the Yod HaGedoyla, and then we have over and over is Zeroyacha Hanetuya, Hashem's outstretched arm. Okay, we have, remember what we learned in Chumash. I try to bring you a raya. When you say outstretched arm, what does that mean? So it means you raise your hand up, right? You raise your hand up. So I remember once upon a time we learned in the afternoon in Chumash from Unkelis that it's mashma zoyach anatuy means you put your hand down. Just the opposite. You put your hand down, and I guess from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective, Hashem is looking down upon this world. Hashem puts his hand down. Yodcha is going up. Zoyacha is to put your hand down. What does that mean exactly? Depends on the context. I don't remember. I remember vaguely once in the afternoon we came across that in learning Targum Unkelis. But now, let's see what the Malbim says. Something very, very.
Yodcha is the hand.
The first portion is the higher up. Correct. Okay, but they're both used.
People say Tachlin wrong. They sometimes do. You should really
do the Zroya. But the Zroya is where the children really are. You can't really go that high. So you're really doing it on the Yad. The Yad is not just this. The Yad Luchar goes to the elbow.
Oh really?
Could be. I don't know. Could be until the elbow, and then from the elbow up is the Zroya. I don't know. Also, it all depends on the context. A lot of these words, it all depends on how they're used, where they're used. It's not like one very precise translation. But he says over here something very amazing. Pasuk Dal ki mivoer. Let us explain. Shadovar ze. We're reading pasuk dalid in the Malbim. Mivoer shadovar ze. Lohoyal piateva. This thing happened over here was not piateva. Rak ata our success in kibul shoretz was not natural. Rak ata you yotcha goyim hoyrashta. Your hand drove out the nations. Kiloy v'charbam yoshu oretz. We didn't go into the land with our sword. It wasn't the power of our sword which was success. Shaloy kavshu al yidei charbam ugvurasam. V'gam zirayam lo hishilamu. Now, and it was not our arm and our Zeroya which brought us salvation. Now he goes, Ha Zeroya Hua Perek Ho Elyon. Again, I'm reading over here on page 392 in the Malbum, Pasuk Dalet, the second line of the Malbum, Pasuk Dalet. The Zroya is the upper section of the arm. Shel Hayot, Umitzayin Tomid, Es Ha Meinia Harishayim, and it's describing always the first thing that the first Hameinia Harishayim, the first Meinia Harishayim means the first cause. What? The meaning means movement. Movement. Okay, movement. The first movement. Es HaKoyach HaMeinia Es HaYad. What controls the yad? Okay, the yad is the, you know, dexterity. You want to go pick up a cup of coffee, so the hand can't pick up the cup of coffee unless someone brings it there. So what brings the hand to the coffee? The Zeroya. The Zeroya extends, is in control to a degree. It's the Meinia Harishon. It's the first movement, we're going to get there. We go there, and then once we're there, then we allow the Yad to do its thing. So the Meinia Harishon, the first movement in doing something, Po'al Po'alta. Remember we saw this Mizmar? It's a double expression. Po'al Po'alta. Two pulas. There's the pu'ula, I'm trying to say, Jewish, to connect this idea, the Zeroya and the Yad, which is now going to explain there are two movements, two pu'ulas. First comes the pu'ula of the Zeroya, then comes the pu'ula of the Yad. So that's why it's po'al po'alta. The pu'ula is the movement of the Zeroya, and then is the Yad is the second movement. So he says here, the Meinia HaRishon is the first movement, as HaKoyach HaMeinia HaYad Mubavur Etzli Shetamet Shebuchol Mokam Shemizkar Zeroya Eitzel Hashem. Every time it says the word Zeroya, Eitzel Hashem, Yitzayin Shagam Reishis Ha Tenua V'Sibos So Bome Is Hashem. What does that mean? The first movement, Ritzon Lemar, Ki Kol HaMa'asim Sheyasa Hashem Ayidei Zuchus Yisrael. Every time Hashem does something on behalf of the Jewish people in their merit, Yitzuyan, it can be described, Shenasa Ma'ase B'Yodoi, Loi B'Zeroya. Ki hazuroya sheheni es hayad, the zuroya sheheni es hayad hu hazuchus. Let's read a little bit more. Aval hamase shenase, the action shenase sheloi behashkef al zuchus ador v'tzidkosom nigra zuroya Hashem. Now this is incredible. Let's think about what he says over here. Is there are certain things that Hashem does because he wants to do it. V'zehu. We don't understand. We do not understand the way Hashem operates. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machshavos, his thoughts, his deeds. But there are events that happen in this world. They happen because Hashem wants it to happen. Period. Hashem doesn't, opens up every day, listens, what do the people want? What does the Olam want me to do today? Let me listen to people's prayers. This one wants this. This one wants to win the jackpot. This one wants to win the Powerball. This one wants to win the New York State Lottery. This one wants to go to Atlantic City and win. This guy wants a shidduch. This guy wants a refuah. Klal Yisrael, generally, they want to go to Eretz Yisrael. They want Mashiach to come. No, let me think. Does this guy have a zuchus? Does he have a zuchus? Is he right? This is what you guys want. I hear what you want. Let me consider it. You, yes, you, no, you, maybe tomorrow. What do you want? What do you people want? Or sometimes, let's say like this, Hashem wants to do things, but I can't. I really want to give this person a promotion. I want to give this person, give him a shidduch. I want to give him a refuah. I want to do what Hashem says, but do you deserve it? Do you deserve it? You have a zuchus? Let me think about it. So when Hashem finally comes to the conclusion, yes, if this is what you want, your wish is granted. If maybe it's what I want, and I'm not going to give you a freebie, and I have discovered, assessed that you have a merit, you're going to get it. How do we do it? This, send it to the Department of Yodcha. There's a bureaucracy in Shemayim. Send the papers to the Department of Yodcha. This is Hashem's Yad. When something happens in this world because of a merit, a zuchus. Someone is petitioning that something should happen and the person has merit. Hashem wants to bring something about and Hashem only does it because there is merit. Merit? Oh, that's the department of the Yad. It comes about in this world through Hashem's Yad. But when Hashem wants to do something for his own reasons, no one asked him to do it, no one petitioned him to do it. It's Hashem has his reasons. He wants there to be an event in this world. He wants there to be whatever there has to be. That's done by Hashem's Zeroya. There's the Department of Homeland Security and there's the Department of Defense. Different departments. They have different agendas. They have different needs. The department of the Zeroya is the agenda of Hashem. He's not looking for people to contribute merit in order for these things to come about. But when something comes about only because Hashem, a person petitions Hashem that it should come about, that's Yotra. So that, let's read those words one more time. It's a very, very powerful stuff over here. What? I guess so. And if you take this parish to its, now every time you open up a pasuk in Chumash, Vayar Yisrael es Hayod Hagidoylo. Exactly. So it's saying there that the whole Kriyas Yamsuf was in the Zuchus, according to the Malbim. Listen, there are many commentators. And also you have to be done when the Malbim says, the Malbim says a lot of things. Does the Malbim mean that this rule is ironclad and it spans the whole Tanakh? Or maybe, you know, there are many times when they say these type of things, it's limited to the context of what we're discussing over here. How far do you go with this idea? You know, and also, you're certainly not going to get agreement on this. You know, you're going to find another mafarish that will say, mamish fakert. Okay, but it's an incredible idea. It's a whole new idea. I mean, this is new. This is novel. This is not, you know, run-of-the-mill type of thing. To say that there's, and also, in and of itself, it's a wonderful insight to address why sometimes in Tanakh does it say the Zeroya HaNetuya, and why sometimes does it say the Yodcha HaGedoyla. What's the chilek? You'll find different perushim. Well, here's...
The son explains that the Yod HaGedoyla is the big picture. In other words, you have the Yod HaChazoka, you have Chozek Yod.
Because that's another thing, there's the Yod HaChazoka.
The Yod HaGedoyla is, now I understand why all these events took place now. And when the crossing of the Yom, why did they have to go by Himshalach Paro, below Nacham Elohim, Derech Eretz Plishtim, and why all of these things had to happen in the sequence that they did, the way things led up to the Gula, when the sea split and the Mitzrayim were drowned, now we understand why everything, that all the events that took place up to now had to be. That was the Yod HaGedoyla. They put two and two together and could see the big picture.
Okay. Right, this is right. He's saying it's different shots.
That's the way he explains
the schuss of the people.
Yes, the schuss of the people. So let's see. Right, you know, he's saying, Ramersky is saying a different idea. And also he's focusing on Dimton Yod HaChazok, Yod HaGedoyla. So let's just read these words one more time. I'm reading over because this is very, very powerful. This is very powerful to me. Let's start again from the third line. The third line of the Malbim, where it begins the word Umivor Etzli. Okay, it's Pasuk Dalet on page 392, three lines down. Umivor etzli, it's clear to me that Tamid writes all the time, Shebechol Mokom Sheniskar Zeroya Eitzel Hashem. Whenever it says the word Zeroya, Yitzayin Shegam Reishis HaTenua. The first movement, which means a movement, as we now know from what we read ahead, a movement that has nothing to do with merit. V'sibasa, and the cause of this movement, this pu'ula, that happens in this world has nothing to do with us. May Hashem yotza hadavar. Bo meyes Hashem. Hashem has his reasons. This thing is going to happen whether you like it or not. Nothing to do with you. Not your merit. Not coming to punish you. Not coming to reward you. Hashem runs the world. He made the world for a purpose. And he brings about certain events. And when Hashem has Zeroya is manifest, it's his reasons only. Ritzon Eloymar. Whenever something happens, not because Hashem wants it to happen, Yitzuyan, it is described, Shenasa Maseh Biyodoy Zeroy Hashem. I don't know why he has the words, what? I don't know why he has to hear the word Zeroy Hashem, but the emphasis clearly from the context is from the Yad, with the Yad of the Zeroya, not the Zeroya itself. V'yomar poi, Shloy Levad, Shloy Becharbam Yorshu Eretz. Over here, this part, it's not enough that we did not possess the land with our sword, our physical might. Kigam lo hoyu ozruim lohem al pi maasem. We did not possess the land in our zuchus. When we came into Eretz Yisrael and Hashem drove out the Canaanim, it wasn't because we had merit. Notice this is coming in, this in conflict with what it says in the Chidah that we just learned. The Chidah interpreted this pasuk to say that when you came into Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't in your merit. It was in a merit of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He's saying, I don't know, it could be saying that it's not even their merit. It's, this is what Hashem wants. Ki gam lo hayu ozruim lize al pi maaseyem, ki moishu kosev loy bitzit koskel v'yoshu levav chato bolu reshu sa'artsam. Ad she gam ziroyam lo shiyom o shiyo lomoy, she lo hayu gam bizchusam, wasn't their power, rak yeminicha, it was Hashem's right hand, and here's the key word, u ziroy acha. When we possessed Eretz Yisrael, it's because this is what Hashem wanted. This was a divine plan from Maaseh Bereishis, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he gave the land to who he wanted, he took it away from them and gave it to us. Shehoya al yidei yemin Hashem hayoseh niflois, v'al yidei zeroyoy, Hashem zeroya, shehu acheset ho'elyon habilti mabit al zchus. It was totally Hashem's desire, his tenua, that does not look al zuchus klal. On the next page, right opposite this, al zuchus klal, shelo haya bezuchus hadar, velo haya nisim nistadim rak shahaya arpanov. They were not hidden miracles, it was arpanov, sheniskala orcha, Hashem's or was revealed, oz bagoli benisim guluim, kirit sisam al yideh harotzen, ho'elyoin, it was Hashem's desire, she'ein tam lerotzen. There is no logical explanation as to why Hashem wanted to do this. And that's why the appropriate word here is ki yeminecha u zeroyacha. It was Hashem zeroya v'or panecha that brought about the miracles of kibush ha'aretz, ki ritzisam. It's Hashem's rotzayn, Hashem's desire. So you take this idea, if you were to take this to its natural conclusion and you would go analyze all the different elements of Chumash, let's say Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayar Yisrael es Hayod HaGedoyla Asher Os Hashem B'Mitzrayim Vayiru Ha'omes Hashem Vayaminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo. That would indicate, according to the Malbim, I don't know, is that Yitzias Mitzrayim was in their merit, Zuchus. Here we're describing K'niso La'aretz. No, there are always three things. There's the Yitzia min Ha'aretz. We left Egypt, and where do we go? Nowhere. Went to the desert. And now, there was a new event. Part two, the sequel, is entering into Eretz Yisrael. Here it says, in this pasuk in Tehillim, which, you know, it's not a raya, you know, because...
Well, that's why the Lashonos Hagula, Vevesi, is the fifth cup.
We don't deal with that. Vevesi, we don't deal with on Pesach. We only deal with Yitzeis Yitzad V'Lati V'Lakachti. We only deal with Yitzias Mitzrayim. We don't deal with Kinisa Lawrence. And if you want to go put these two together, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the fact that it says Vayar Yisrael, when they finally concluded Yitzias Mitzrayim, the focus was upon Hashem Ziad. Vayar Yisrael Hayod HaGedoyla Asher Os Hashem B'Mitzrayim. The Yod HaGedoyla means Hashem did this in our merit. We had merit. Shleishina es Shemam, Shleishina es Malbusham, Shleishina as what was the third thing? Shemam, Malbusham, three things. And Lashoinim, their language. They didn't change their name, their clothing, and their language. And there are other merits. There are other merits. There were many merits that Klal Yisrael had. And in those merits, we merited to leave Egypt, but to go and conquer the Shiva Umais, to conquer Eretz Yisrael, no. this was with the Zeroya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the outstretched hand of coming into Eretz Yisrael. This was the plan from time immemorial, from Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem made the land, and he meant to give the land to Klal Yisrael. There's no rhyme, no reason. That is what Hashem wanted. Okay, so this is a masterpiece. This now, if the Chaim HaSanach we started with today doesn't seem to say this. He seems to say,
in diametric opposition to the Chaim
HaSanach, he says Zuchus, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, so yeah, exactly. So you want to say that they're not arguing that the Malbim over here is referring to that it wasn't in the Zuchus of the generation, but it was in the Zuchus of their ancestors. Right. So he said he doesn't. He very purposely leaves out Avraham Yitzchak. There's no zuchus altogether. Right. Purely, this is the divine plan. This is a very powerful hashkafic concept. Is that there are certain things in this world that are meant to be, are going to happen whether you like it or not. How you behave, how you your madrega will make a difference in where you are, and how you're affected by these world events. Okay, you have over here Rahman's COVID. So every country was in a different situation in as far as being prepared to deal with it. So some people were more fortunate. If they had been living in this country, they would have feared better. And they're living in this other country, their chance of survival are different. Okay, everyone, and that obviously all depends on other factors. Where there are things that are going to happen, whether you like it or not. How will you survive? How will you be affected? That l'chayr depends on your own personal merits. Your personal merits. But there are certain major things that go on in this world. It's a very interesting idea, and it opens up a whole world of commentary and dealing with many other different things. Okay, now with that in mind, we're now going to go into the next sukkim. Okay, looking pretty much over here is what I wanted to discuss. And we're now gonna move ahead to the next page. Okay, let's begin just a little bit of the next page. Kiloi Vikashtika, here's this more elaboration upon now on page 394.
Zion.
Three in the Pasuk Zion.
It seems there are three different forces we're dealing with. One is Zuchus Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, one is the Zuchus of the Dor itself.
Right. Very good. You say, so Mordechai is really summarizing that you should take all the Chidah with the Malbim, put it together, and understand that there are three, or maybe we can say what Rabbi Naiman said. Put Rabbi Naiman, what he said, it's called Bris Avos. There is Zuchus Avos, and there is Bris Avos. Okay, the Gemara says that in the time of Moshe ben Ela, Moshe ben Ela was the last king of the Malchei Yisrael. There were 21 kings, and they were both. There were approximately 21 kings in the Malchei Yisrael and 21 kings in the Malchei Yehuda. The Yehuda, they lived longer, so it spanned another 100-150 years more. But they were basically 20. Each one had 21 kings. 21 kings, so 42. How many Shemos of Hashem's name are in the Tefillin? 42. There are 42. Hashem's name appears in the Tefillin 42 times. You put on your head Hashem's name. Hashem's name is there 42 times. How many kings were there in the Jewish people? 42. 21 kings of Malchei Yisrael, 21 kings of Malchei Yehuda, and the last king, Chazal said, the time of the last king of the Malchei Yisrael was a time of Tamu Zuchus Avos. Tosfos says, I don't remember what Tosfos says, even though it's talking true that we no longer have Zuchus Avos, we've lowered ourselves to such a level where we can't rely upon Zuchus Avos, but there's still something that saves us, Bris Avos. So if we take what Rabbi Naiman said, Rabbi Mordechai said, what the Malbim said, and what the Chidah says, there are four different principles that the world revolves around. There is number one, the Zeroya of Hashem, Hashem's Ratzon, which is not dependent upon anything else. Hashem kiloi machshavoytzai machshavoytzeichem. Hashem created this world. He has a purpose. There's a reason we don't understand. It's not for us to understand. There are things that are going to happen in this world because Hashem wants it to happen. Regardless. regardless of anything else going on in this world. Then, where are we positioned when these events happen? Where are we? Well, there's something called Bris Avos. The Bris Avos is Hashem made a covenant with the Avos, and that guarantees we're members. And if you're a member, if you're a citizen of the United States, it doesn't matter. You have a passport, you're a citizen, you know, you're going to be in the news. If you're caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, the government, well, we have a citizen of the United States is trapped in some third world country. It's a citizen. It's their problem. It's the Pentagon's problem to deal with a Meshuggah who goes where he shouldn't be going. He's a citizen. Okay, so now a basketball player finds himself in Russia, right? He's a basketball player. Who could care less about this guy? He's in Russia. Oh,
a
woman. You're a United States citizen. Oh, you're a United States citizen. Look at that. Send you to a labor camp and it makes headlines. Why? United States citizen. If it wasn't a United States citizen, it's not our problem. Who could care less? What do we care? Not a United States citizen. Oh, that's Bris Avos. We don't care your ethical conduct. We don't care if you pay taxes. We don't care if you bad mouth and you kneel. You kneel when they sing the national anthem. This woman, did she kneel when they sing the national anthem? Who knows? It doesn't make a difference if you have merit. You can have the biggest chaleria who kneels and does terrible things. You're a citizen of the country. It's the Pentagon's problem to deal with the political fallout. Bris Avos. It doesn't matter if we daven a long Shemon Esrei, you don't daven Shemon Esrei, you wear a Beinu Tam Tefillin, you wear a Chves, you wear a Tefillin Chol HaMoed. It doesn't make a difference. You're part of Klal Yisrael. There's something called Bris Avos. Then you come to Zuchus Avos. L'chor Zuchus Avos means you're following the ways of the forefathers. When you oise, you're going in the ways of the Laman Asher Yedativ, Laman Asher Yitzaveh, Esbonav Achlev Lishmor Derech Hashem. So when you do a mitzvah, you know who's at your side? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's a much more potent. There's a chiba that brings you much greater success. And then there's your own schus. Your own schus. Your own merit. Four madregos. There is the Ritzoyin Hashem, the Zeroya Hanetuya, the Bris Avos, the Zuchus Avos, and your own merit. Your Egen Yichus. The Egen Yichus, this is the best Yichus. Your own Yichus. Okay, now let's proceed to the next section of Pesukim. Hiloi, some very, very beautiful flowery Pesukim. Some of these Pesukim are very, very famous. Hiloi V'kashti Eftoch. I did not take faith in my bow and arrow. My kashti, my keshes is the bow. The charbi lo sosheti, and my sword will not save. So here we have over here, even though we said over here before the word charbi, and we did not have in the previous pasuk. What I'm thinking now, homiletically, is that if you go back to pasuk dalid, when it says ki lo becharbam yarshu oretz uzeroyam, their arm alludes to the bow. The bow and arrow, because your ability to shoot an arrow depends upon the power of your zeroya. A sword, a cherev, is dexterity. I'm suggesting this. I don't know if it's true. I'm saying it's true or not. But it says generally whenever you find the cherev, you find the keshes. They go together. Asher lokachti miyadach emor becharbi uvikashti. The two go together. So how come, and over here the Harayim, Pasik, Zayin, we have the Keshes, the bow and arrow, versus the Cheref. These two terms are very popular, powerful terms in reference to Hashkafa of Golas. The Cheref generally is represents Esav, because Hashem said to Esav, Bechar Becho Sichya, you will live by the sword. The bow and arrow is a symbol, a metaphor for Yishmael. Vayihi roive kashos. The art of Yishmael, he was an archer. It says Beferish that after Sarah drove out Yishmael, they went to the desert. and he almost died. And the Met Malach said, found for him some water. Vayifkach einecha hagar she'ayzo. But not last week's parasha, she saw the bermayim, and she gave him to drink. And vayihi roive kashos. So Yishmael, they're the archers. And Esav are the b'char b'cha sichye. And if you remember, when Trump became president, in the very beginning of his first term, back in the day, so the, one of the first things, his first foreign trip, he went to Saudi Arabia. You remember those days? And it was very, very fair. He went to Saudi Arabia, and they had a dance with the swords. They had this crazy dance. Remember that? And it was a shocking thing because Trump really showed that his style, his, you know, all the other countries. Saudi Arabia is a very delicate relationship with Saudi Arabia, United States, and there he went and he was very, very, very friendly, and the whole world was watching this, and they had this crazy dance where they were dancing with swords, and him and his wife and the whole thing there, they were dancing with these swords. Were dancing with the swords. It was a ganze maisa, and the darshanim were saying, "There's a chazal. There's a vayelech Esav el Yishmael." When it's very dangerous. When, you know, Trump represents the United States of America, which in the hashkafa, many will tell you represents Esav Edom. Okay, many people will say that you look at the world in the lens. Of Chazal, that America is Esav, and Saudi Arabia is Yishmael. They're dressed, you know, look how they're dressed. What do you want to go say? It doesn't necessarily mean, we always say, it does not necessarily mean that there are Meyuchasim. Doesn't mean that the people in America today, they're blood descendants of Esav HaRasha. Doesn't mean that. And it doesn't mean that Saudi Arabia and all the Muslims today are blood descendants of Yishmael. They're Gerim. But what it means is they have embraced the ideology. This is accepted by many G'dayla Yisrael, is that the Goyim today in Western civilization doesn't mean Western civilization, all the whole West, the European nations, and the United States of America, Canada, and Mexico, I don't know, them also, I guess so, the Mexico and all the European nations for sure. For sure, United States, probably, and I don't know about, but there's the principle, this concept called, they doesn't mean they're miyuchasim. It's not muchach that they're miyuchasim. You study all the big historians, try to trace the lineage, will tell you it's not muchach. What we call today Edom are descendants, blood descendants of Esav and Edom, but they certainly exhibit the simonim muvhakim of their ideology of Esav. They have embraced the ideology of Esav. Memela, they are Esav. The Arab nations, they're not muchach that they are blood descendants of Yishmael, not at all. But because Chazal G'dayla Yisrael have now analyzed their ideology, they have embraced the ideology of Yishmael. And Yishmael's symbol of war is the keshes, the bow and arrow. And the symbol of war for Edom is the cheref. When you see Yishmael holding in his hand a sword and dancing with a sword, that's very dangerous. Because that means that there's a synthesis. There's become a synthesis of our two most dangerous enemies. Yishmael does not like us. Esav does not like us. And when Esav and Yishmael unify, we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. Throughout history, during the Crusades, there was a war between Esav and Yishmael. That, who was the collateral damage of this war? We were the collateral. But yet, it was also the cause of our survival. Because if Esav hates us, and Yishmael hates us, but as long as they're busy killing each other, they don't have time for us. They're busy with themselves. They're busy killing each other. You're killing each other, they don't have time to unify and kill us. They're busy killing each other. But when they're at peace with each other, then who are they going to go up against? Their common enemy. Their common enemy is us. So on the one hand, the Crusades are still going on. Everyone will tell you that. The Crusades, there's a melchemes oilam in the world for dominance over the world between Christianity and Islam. Edom, Yishmael. Jihad versus Crusade. Okay, all you go on Amazon, there are 100 books about the Crusades showing that the Crusades never ended. The battle for dominance of the world. There are approximately 1 billion people in this world that are loyal to the ideology of Christianity, and approximately 1 billion people in this world that are loyal to the philosophy of the Muslims, Islam, and they're both at each other's neck for dominance over this world. And as long as they're busy fighting each other, they don't have time to fight us. When they come together and they make peace with themselves, then it's inevitable that who's our common enemy, which will never come make peace with them, is Klal Yisrael. So on the one hand, we're the collateral damage. On the other hand, it's the cause of our survival that they hate each other and they fight. See, you took the Crusades. What happened to the Crusades? The Keferlach, the Tisha B'Av, the Kinois. Yet, isn't it amazing that in the same horror of what happened in the Crusades, the incredible horror, can't even begin to fathom, yet you can't deny it's also in this element of that's why we're still here. They didn't finish us off because they're too busy killing each other. They didn't totally finish us. We survive. I think that's a reality, that's a fact. So when you have the two coming together, like you saw that dance where Esav is holding in their hand a sword, that's not your weapon. Those videos, I saw it even very recently. I don't know why they showed that. It was on the news again. They showed that video again of that dance when they were dancing in Saudi Arabia. You see Yishmael dancing with a sword. It's very frightening. It's a very frightening image. Here it says, Kiloi v'kashti eftach v'charbi lo soshieni. Now, before we go back, what does this mean? Let's say the Jewish, before we say the Pshat. During world history, the Jewish people, at different times, pledged their allegiance to their host country to save them from the other. Today, more or less, Klal Yisrael is having faith in the Cheref to save them from the Keshas. Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by the Arab nations who want to destroy us. That's the Keshas. Who do we look up to? To guard our back, United States, Western civilization. Their presence is there, holding back the Arab nations from running over Eretz Yisrael. So what do? We put our confidence in the Cheref to protect us from the Keshas. Go back in history, it wasn't always like that. It was just the opposite. There were many generations where Klal Yisrael put their faith, were very good with the Muslims to protect them from the Christians. I think even turned the Rambam. The Rambam was very good. There's many tukufas where the Jews had a very, very good relationship with the Muslims, and they protected them from the church, from the Meshugoyim. So today is mamash the opposite. Today no one's coming to go to look to the Muslims to protect us. They're trying to kill us, and the one that's protecting us is the Cheref. It was just the opposite. During the time of the Crusades, more or less, Jews more or less lined up with the Muslims to protect us from the Christians. And there were many situations where you can't generalize. So we hear this pasuk says, you're in Golis. Remember, don't have faith in anyone. Kiloi v'kashti eftach v'charbi lo soshieni. Don't have faith in the Muslims to protect you from the Cheref, and the Cheref is not going to save you either. When the Muslims come for you, don't think that you can rely upon the Cheref, Western civilization, to come and save you from the onslaught of the Keshas. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea. Over here it says Keshas and Cheref. Always, wherever you find one, you're going to find the other. So how come then the previous Pasuk, it says, in Pasuk Dal Kiloi v'charbam yorshu aretz, you did not possess the land with your sword, uzerayam lo hoshia lomoy, and your arm did not save you. So I'm suggesting when it says uzerayam, that really means the Keshas. Because the way you shoot an arrow is with the power of your Zeruiah. Okay, and if you don't know what this is about, go check out a documentary on ancient warfare on archers and ancient bows. And it's not like you go by Lag BaOmer for 99 cents. You go by a plastic bow and arrow. It's a joke. A real bow and arrow, the average person couldn't pull the bow. You have the keshes and you have the yeser. The yeser is the string. An average person, you put an arrow, it is so tight, you can't pull it back.
You make a bow, you buy a bow
according to your strength. And the koyach is the power in the zeroya to pull back. You need to be
how strong you are.
Tremendous.
Crossbow was way later.
The Zeroya, you need to be mighty. And in fact, many of the old ancient archers, they did it with their feet. They didn't even use their arm. They do it two different types of bows and arrows. The bow and arrow that you use your arm, the Zeroya. And there's another whole industry of archers that shoot with their feet. They lie down on their back and they pull the yeser with their feet, because you can get a lot more strength with your feet. With both of your feet, these very large bows, and they lie down in a very unique position with their feet extended, and they push it, and then they let go with their feet, and the arrow flies an enormous distance. And when you have 1,000 people doing this, I once saw a cradle dog, 1,000 people lying down with these massive bows and arrows. They're lying there on the ground, and they did a lot of practice, so they know exactly how much pressure to exert, and they know, like golf, right? How do these golfers know how to do it? Tiger Woods, how do you even know to go to send the ball exactly a certain practice? So they know exactly where their enemies are, and could you imagine you're in a kim, all of a sudden 1,000 arrows come raining down, lethal arrows laced with poison. The tip of the arrow was, they put poisonous venom from snakes on the tip of the arrow, and they would lie down with their feet and push extended, and with ultimate precision, all of a sudden, 1,000 arrows come down. It's even worse than modern warfare. Okay, modern warfare can't do such lethal, sophisticated techniques. And they knew how to do this. Incredibly skillful. And that's the koyach, vayihi revei kashas. Revei kashas doesn't mean Lag BaOmer, 99 cents bow and arrow, plastic that you buy in 99 cent store. Revei kashas means an extremely sophisticated technique of warfare using bows and arrows and knowing exactly how to maneuver. But the regular, it comes from the koyach of the zeroya. So I'm suggesting that in Pasuk Daled, when it says Uzeroyam lo hoshia lomo, it means the arrow, the bow and arrow, which has to be pulled and shot with strength of the Zeroya. With a sword, you don't need strength. You need dexterity. You need to know you're in proximity to your opponent, and you have to know how to turn the sword and stab the opponent with dexterity. It doesn't mean you have to have strength in the Zeroya. So since these two words always go together, I'm suggesting in Pasuk Daled, there is the cheref and there is the zeroya, which really represents the bow. Okay, but let's see, one more possible time. Is it a little bit? Okay, all right, let's read one more pasuk and then we're going to stop. Ki hoy shatanu mitzoreinu, Hashem, you saved us from our enemy, umisaneinu, hevi shoysa. You brought us back, you returned us. There are two different terms here. There's a soine and a tzara. What's the chilek? Look at the Malbim. The Malbim, the Ber Hamilos. Hatzar hu hameiria bepoal. A tzar is a soldier, a combat soldier on the battlefield who takes up weapons. And who v'hoshatanu miyadam v'hasoni hu b'leiv. A soine are the people who sit in the Pentagon. They sit in the White House and Congress, people who hate you in their heart. They don't actually go out to battle, the battlefield. They're not skilled to go to the battlefield, but they hate you in their heart. And they plan and they plot and they enact policy and pass laws to cause you harm. the yisbayshu al sinosam, and the goal is heavy shoyso. Heavy shoyso. He translated. How do you say? I should bring it back. I made a mistake. I don't know if I made a mistake. It could be the other perushim. I said it, maybe it could be that I saw it somewhere else. I don't remember. But heavy shoyso means busha. You brought upon them shame. You brought upon them shame. So there, that's why he's saying over here is two different terms. There's a tsara, and there's a tsar, and there's a soine. A tsar is a combat soldier. A soine is a politician. And a person who hates you in their heart. And each one has different techniques in causing you pain. The tsar causes you physical pain by fighting physically against you, and the soine causes you pain by doing things without confronting you directly, but through policy, law, and technique, and whatever, through dibur, koich ha-dibur, he brings upon you problems, and therefore when they are defeated, there's a different type of word. When you defeat a tsara, you've been saved. The bullet missed me. Okay, the missile missed. And when it comes to the soine, they're put to shame. Okay, the soine, when the soine is humiliated when he tries to enact laws and things against the Jewish people, that's how they are punished. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll take a few minute break. We want to talk about an interesting topic today. The topic of where is the best location to set up a chuppah. In shul, the best location to set up a chuppah. Chasam Kala. What? Oh, Tachas Shemayim. Okay, so we'll talk about that soon.